Norra Valgrund, Vallan. This is where it all began. The story of the people of this beautiful, ever-changing landscape. This is also where the first tiny part of what was to become the Kvarken Archipelago World Heritage Site rose from the sea spray 2,250 years ago, as a wind-swept skerry. It wasn't until the 13th century that it had become big enough for people to live on, and to be named Hallonbak, or Raspberry Hill. The first settlers probably came from Sweden, across the Gulf of Bothnia, to the Ostrobothnian mainland. After a generation or so, they moved out here to the archipelago, with its sheltered bays, rich in fish. This village had probably already been established by the 15th century. We know this from the oldest written record from the Ostrobothnia region. In the deed, dated in 1407, Lawrence Hemmingsson states that he has sold his farm, called Nornes in Vallagrundum village, to Josse Lax. The Nornes farm is probably the same as the Norgård farm, right here in the middle of Valgrund, and a kilometre and a half away from the present shoreline.
Josse Lax was very pleased with his purchase. This would be a grand place to live. The farm with its simple grey buildings, surrounded by small fields for growing barley and hop, was situated on a small cape along the eastern shore of a shallow bay. That was great, since the eastern shores of the archipelago usually weren't as rocky as the western shores, where the waves of the west wind had washed away the soil between the rocks. And in spring, this bay would be practically teeming with fish. The villagers called it Viken, which is simply the Swedish word for bay. And they had told Josse Lax that people from the mainland had been coming here for centuries to fish in the summer and to hunt seals in the autumn. People from the villages of Jungsund, Järrebyn and Solfur, even from as far inland as Laihala, still owned land out there. Apparently, they had used the small bare skerries in the area to dry their fishing nets on. By this time, the same skerries had already become islands, or had even merged with each other into bigger islands. Across Viken was an island called Holmen, which in turn means islet. Maybe there were squirrels on Holmen. Josse was in need of squirrel pelts to pay his taxes to the bailiff on Krutsebori, nowadays called Korsholm Castle. Although it was really just a hill with a palisade of wood around a few simple log houses. At least the place would be peaceful, now that the pirates of the Gulf of Bothnia were gone. The widely feared German Wittel brothers had surrendered to Queen Margareta I. Well, Josse might go on a squirrel hunt tomorrow.
By studying the place names in the World Heritage Area, you can understand what certain places must have looked like when people first started visiting and populating them. Due to land uplift, you can find names with skär in them, even in the middle of a forest, although skär is Swedish for skerry, meaning small, rocky island. The name of a small brook can also include the word sund, which means a strait of water. A look at a map of the area can therefore be a voyage of discovery in itself, offering clues to the past. Today, Hallonbak Skerry lies 20 metres above sea level. Now it's a part of a 150 square kilometre island, one of the 5,600 islands in the World Heritage Area. Each year, this area grows by a total of 1 square kilometre. This is due to the flatness of the archipelago. Along a beach with a really small incline, the shoreline can move outwards by tens of metres during a single decade, even though the land has risen by only 9 centimetres during the same time. So the whole of Ostrobothnia, or rather the whole of Finland, is still growing bigger every year. One of the greatest Finnish storytellers of all time, Zacharias Topelius, described it as Finland acquiring a new principality every century. And he should know. He was a geography professor in the late 19th century, and the land uplift was his favorite topic. The reason why this area is so flat is a story that goes back hundreds of millions of years. This landscape has been worn down by many ice ages. But the most recent one couldn't have shaped the boulders, rocks, and gravel into low-lying hills, ridges, and valleys precisely in this way if the landscape hadn't already been flat. Depending on their shape and how they are formed, the mounds are called drumlins, flutings, megalineations, ribbed moraines, or daguerre moraines. In the Swedish part of the World Heritage, the high coast, the mountains are much higher and the bays much deeper. There, the ice, the land uplift, and the sea could together form different traces, such as tunnel caves and till-capped hills. In a landscape that continues to rise from the sea, even the flora and fauna are affected by the changing shoreline. You could say that it's as if the plant and animal life here stands on a conveyor belt, moving ever outwards to cover the newly dried up seafloor. The bay where Jose fished eventually became pretty good farming land, although Viken was probably used more for collecting hay and fodder. We know this from the number of small, sun-bleached grey hay sheds in this beautifully preserved cultural landscape, which is one of the many pearls of the Kvarken Archipelago.